Revelation. Perhaps while the offering's being taken, I'll just remind you about the cafe. Is there anybody here? Tonight we are studying the book of Revelation. We're going to study, if God helps us, two full chapters, chapter 17 and 18 of the book of Revelation. The reason why I'm trying to put two together is because our year is quickly going by. We started this at the end of June, and here we are halfway through September. We're still in the book of Revelation. And really, I could teach for another 3 months on this, but I'm trying to close the door of the ark and land the plane and finish the teaching in over the next 6 weeks sometime, maybe the next 5 weeks. We'll see how it goes. But tonight, we're going to start with Revelation 17. Revelation 17 and 18 are the unraveling of the kingdom of darkness. You should be really excited. Heaven is really excited. After this, in the 19th chapter, comes the hallelujah chorus, where everybody in heaven sings the hallelujah chorus. And it's because the marriage of the Lamb has come, because Babylon has been overthrown, because darkness, because the devil has got that which was coming to him, that which was told and prophesied would come to him from the foundations of the world. You see, the book of Revelation is the fulfillment of the cross of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. And in that place, he gave us everything about himself that was good and took upon himself everything about us that was bad. But it wasn't just stuff that was bad about us. It's stuff that's bad in the planet and on this earth. He took it all on him. But we're in the middle of the installment plan. Little by little, we get more of what Jesus did for us, what he paid for on the cross. First, we get our salvation. Some of us then get a healing. We get the renewing of our mind. We get things like curses broken off. We get demons driven out. We get the power of the Holy Spirit coming within us that was bought for us and released to us through the work of the cross. We get acceptance in the Father. We get glory instead of shame. We get the blessings of the Lord on every side because of what Jesus did on the cross. But it comes in installments. As we grow, we work out our own salvation. And the process of sanctification fills us up, comes in our lives, and changes us to be nice people and to be powerful people. You need to be both nice and powerful. A lot of Christians are nice, but not too powerful. It's time that you became both nice and powerful. Come next week and you'll see some power of the Holy Spirit here as Ed and his team minister and teach you in these things as well. Hallelujah. So the book of Revelation is the unfolding. It's the completion where every promise and blessing that Jesus paid for comes to us. And every judgment comes to the devil and all who are evil. That's what the book of Revelation is about. It is the grand finale before the eternity of Christ comes. And it'll happen here on this planet. Now, we've just been studying the three series of judgments that come. The first series of judgments come with the peeling off of the seven seals on the scroll. And the four apocalyptic horses come at the very beginning of the book of Revelation. A quarter of the people on the earth die because of those four horses. That's what it says when the book of Revelation starts, when the great tribulation starts. Then the second series of judgments comes with the blowing of the trumpets. And the third series of judgments come with the pouring out of the bowls of wrath. And they are so devastating that after the bowls of wrath have been poured upon the earth, there is no drinking water on the surface of the earth anymore. Every river and lake is poisoned. The ozone layer is completely gone, so that if you go outside in the middle of the daytime, your skin will burn and blister. That's what the scripture says. And everything that lives in the sea is dead. There isn't seaweed that's still alive. The whole thing has become toxic. There is so much disease and darkness that has come upon the earth. And the greatest earthquake, it says, in the history of humanity will come at that time. And then there will be hailstones weighing 100 pounds each, the size of this pulpit, that will be falling from the sky. They will crush cement buildings, not just people. So the whole world will become just about uninhabitable. And that is what the scene is like before the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. Let's read it now. Revelation 17 and verse 1. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the prostitute of the great, or the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert, and there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names. And the beast had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold and precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead: Mystery, Babylon the Great, Mother of Prostitutes and the Abominations of the Earth. I saw that this woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished, and the angel said to me, 'Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides, which has the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss. And then he will go to his destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, now is not, and yet will come. This calls for a mind of wisdom. The seven heads on the beast are seven hills on which the woman sits. They are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for a little while. The beast, who once was and now is not, is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war against Jesus, the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are people, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin, leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to accomplish this purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is that great city that rules over the kings of the earth.'" I'm going to stop there before we read chapter 18. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your wisdom and your help tonight to get through this chapter in order that we might properly communicate what is here. I ask for your anointing on both me as I speak and on all who hear and listen. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go through this, because what you're going to see is the perfect trifecta of evil. Satan has a beast. He has a false prophet, and he has the great prostitute, the woman of abominations. The three of them come together to rule the people of the earth. The spirit of all three of these demonic leaders are in the world today. Many spirits of Antichrist, many spirits of witchcraft, and many spirits of lust. And these three have the ability to grasp the heart of every person in the planet who does not come to Christ. In the time of the Great Tribulation, they will be emboldened, empowered. The beast or the Antichrist himself will come up out of the abyss halfway through. We read that in chapter 9 and then learned about the beast in chapter 13. Now we're here in 17 and it's time for the beast to start to unravel. But he's first going to rise to his ultimate place of power before this chapter is finished. So one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said, "Come and I'm going to show you," this is verse 1 now, "come and I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters." Her punishment, we found out, is that the beast and the false prophet and the other demons are going to strip her naked and eat her. Says they will eat her flesh. But before that happens, you can see that. We just read it. Let's just take a look at that because you might not have caught it while I was reading it. But it says in verse 16, they will bring her to ruin, leave her naked, then they will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So that becomes what this angel, one of the angels who pours out this bowl of wrath, says to John, "Come and I will show you the punishment of the great whore, the great prostitute." These three are on their way to punishment: the beast, the false prophet, and the great whore. But the first one to go down is the great prostitute. And her own kind kill her. Demons kill her. So we read on. She sits on many waters. The many waters are described for what they are. The many waters, it says in verse 1 that she sits on many waters. But go to verse 15. "Then the angel said to me, 'The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are people, multitudes, nations, and languages.'" So when you see a sea or great water in the book of Revelation, it's talking about nations and people. So that's why if we die and go to be with the Lord, our body stays here, dust to dust and ashes to ashes, and we go in spirit form. And we go before the throne. And it says, "And before the throne, there was a sea as clear as crystal." So that sea is the body of Christ, the people of God, but in spirit form. And when our spirits come down from heaven, as Jesus comes down, our bodies are reformed from the dust of the earth, meet the spirits that are coming down. That's resurrection. And Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But resurrection is when you get your new body back again. You get your body back with an upgrade. Praise God. So we read on in verse 3, "Then the angel carried me away in the spirit, and there I saw a woman sitting on a beast, the scarlet beast." And this woman, we're going to find out who she is. She's covered with blasphemous names. But the beast has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now we learned about the 7 heads and 10 horns in our previous studies. All through the book, chapter 13, chapter 9, we read about Apollyon, who comes up out of the pit, out of the abyss. And he is the king of the demons. And he has an image. And he's going to make everybody worship his image. And he has these horns and heads. He has 7 heads and 10 horns. And these also are demons. See, the Antichrist is not a person. The Antichrist is a spirit that comes up out of the abyss. But he and his demons infiltrate many people so that there will be many prominent people who will be antichrists. Even John said in his epistle in the Bible, we can read, there are already many antichrists in the world. So he is called the Antichrist because he's the champion, but he is a spirit and he comes up out of the abyss. And he has these heads, 7 heads. I suggested to you that the 7 heads were demon spirits whose job is to bring darkness to 7 different parts of society in every nation. So there is the political arena where demon spirits are going after the political arena. There's a demon in charge of getting the spirit of humanism, an antichrist spirit, into the political arena of every nation. Then there's a medical one over the medical field. There's one over the media. How many of you know that witchcraft is alive in the media? And there's a demon over that. There's one over the military and the police force. There's one over the judicial system. There's one over the education system. And there's one over the entertainment system. So all of these areas, they have a demon who is in charge, who is one of the heads. They're called kings. They're spiritual entities whose job is to get their department of the entertainment industry, for example, to worship the image of the beast. And the image of the beast is humanism. It is known by the number 666, the number of man. Man worshiping himself. He says, we don't need God, we just need better education. And humanism is accepted by capitalism, by communism, by Hinduism. All the isms believe in humanism. It's true. And the whole world is already worshiping this. It is the spirit of political correctness. It is very strong already in the United States of America. So that if you do something that is really, really Christian, one day you will be pulled up on the carpet and told that is not acceptable anymore because you can't say that your God is the only God. That's not humanism. So the ideology of humanism and is an ideology of political correctness for the whole world. It wants to put every culture and every people group into a big blender and turn it on high power until you're just a conglomerate of muck who all think the same, believe the same, under a one-world government. And Christians are not like that. They say there is only one name under heaven whereby a man can be saved, and it's the name Jesus. They say, I will bow the knee to no other but him. And they say, marriage is between a man and a woman. They say there are absolutes that are not bendable. It is called the Judeo-Christian ethic. That life starts at conception, and nobody has a right to take it except those in civil government for the sake of murder for capital punishment. The Bible talks about that. But there's no other in the New Testament, no other reason why anybody can kill anybody else except in self-defense for in such a case as an army might defend their nation. Or a police force might protect people. Civil government has that right. But we don't have a right to kill an unborn child. or anybody else who's just, we don't like. So, Christians have a standard, and the seven heads hate Christians. They're the demon kings over these different areas. And then it says, and 10 horns. This beast has 10 horns. And the 10 horns, I said, are 10 geographical areas. They are power kings. And they have control like the prince of Persia and the prince of Tyre that Daniel had to fight with, or, excuse me, Gabriel had to fight with on his way to see Daniel. Daniel prayed. And 21 days later, after he had fasted, Gabriel came. And he said, the first day that you sent your prayer up to heaven, God heard and sent me to bring the answer to you. But I was attacked by the prince of Persia and the prince of Tyre in the second heaven. And he said, I fought with him for 21 days until Michael, your prince. Michael's a prince of the Jewish people. Michael, the archangel, is a prince over a principality. A polity ruled by a prince is a principality. He says, Michael, your prince, came and helped me. So you see, there is these demon spirits, demon lords, over these areas. And I mentioned to you 10 different areas in the world. They don't have to be exactly these areas. I'm just making a suggestion that North America would be one of these areas. There's a demon spirit over North America that wants to bring everything under the control of the beast. He's already at work here. And there's one over South America. And there's one over Africa. And there's one over Israel. And there's one over Europe. And there's one over India and surrounding nations. And there's one over China and surrounding nations. There's one over Australia and the surrounding nations. And there's one over what was all of USSR, the Russia, and all of the nations that have been connected with Russia. And then, did I say South America? Then what's right? There's 10 different areas altogether. Where the other one, if I missed one, it might be the Arab nations all that are all around Israel and go through what we call the 1040 window. So there are 10 different geographical spirit areas on the planet. And these 10 kings have a designation. They're on the beast. They're part of the beast. He has 7 heads and these 10 horns. And the 10 horns speak of power. Heads speak of government. And they come to rule the whole world and to get the world worshiping the image of the beast, which is humanism. But this woman, it says in verse 4, Revelation 17, verse 4, the woman was dressed in purple and scarlet with glittering pearls. She held in her hand a golden cup filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. And she had a title on her forehead, Mystery, Babylon the Great, Mother of Prostitutes and of the Abominations of the Earth. So we're getting an idea of who this woman is. And she sits on the beast. She actually rides the beast. That's an interesting thing. I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute. But look at verse 6. And I saw this woman, this mother of prostitutes, and she was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of those who had bore testimony to Jesus. She has always been here. She's on the planet right now. She's bloodthirsty for those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ on their lives. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against darkness in high places. It's very real. Now, it's not likely that you are battling her, but you are battling some of her demon spirits. Some people have some of her demon spirits living within them. For most, the demons are without, but they come to tempt, to torment. and to bring you into a place of destruction. For Satan has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And he has a pyramid of generals, admirals, dark lords, and myriads of angels and demons under his command to infiltrate the nations of the world, the communities and states, provinces, regions and counties all around the world to bring the activity of the devil to kill and to steal and to destroy. So this woman, she is drunk with the blood of God's people. And there are many people who've been persecuted. While we have been here in America over these last 2 months, hundreds of Christians have been murdered in the Middle East with this ISIL or ISIS fanatical Islam. In Iraq, it has happened where whole villages have been slaughtered now. And that is just one group of radical Islam. But the radical Islam is rising up in under with different faces and different names all over that part of the world now. And Christians and Jews are their main targets. This woman is drunk with the blood of the saints, it says in verse 6. And when I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then verse 7, then the angel said to me, why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides. How can this woman ride the Antichrist? I will tell you. I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and the beast she rides, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. So this little verse, verses 7 and 8, describe to you the main attributes of the Antichrist. If you want to know who the Antichrist is, solve the puzzle of those two verses and you'll get it. I already shared with you that the Antichrist, the beast, has heads and horns. And they are governmental leaders, spirit leaders, over regions and systems of the nations to bring their systems and those earthly regions under the control of the devil, into the worship of the beast. But it also says now some other things. It says, the beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss. So here are two more things. This beast is a spirit. He once was. He is now, not now. When this is written 2,000 years ago, the beast is where he still is right now. He is in the abyss. And it says, he was, but then he was put in the abyss, so he is not. But he yet will be, for he will come out of the abyss. So it's very clear, this is not a human being. The human being that's going to be on the planet during this time wasn't here before the Bible was written and then put into a prison and then brought back. This is a spirit. His name is Apollyon. And so he comes out of the abyss. And then it says, and will go to his destruction. And the destruction of the beast happens in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, where the Lord himself comes down from heaven with a shout, lands on the Mount of Olives. He takes the beast. It says the beast makes war against the Lamb. He takes the beast and the false prophet and throws them in the lake of fire, and their destruction comes. It says he will go to his destruction. That's when it happens. So those two little verses describe who the beast is and basically what's going to happen to him. Verse 9, this calls for a mind with wisdom. You have minds of wisdom, right? Praise God. The wisdom from above is your gift. The 7 heads are 7 hills on which the woman sits. They also are 7 kings. 5 have fallen. 1 is, and the other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must reign for a little while. Now let me tell you the five systems of the world that will fall. It's actually very easy if you just think about it. See, by this time, this isn't the beginning of the book of Revelation or the Great Tribulation, it's the end. Remember all the tragedies that have happened now? There's nothing living in the sea. People are starving. Everything in the sea is dead. There's no drinking water on the planet except from a deep well or through some kind of machinery. The sun will scorch your body until you blister. You can read all of this in the 16th chapter, just the chapter before. The greatest earthquake in humanity's history happens at this time. Every house, every city is crushed. And then hailstones the size of this fall from the ground. And so, what systems do you think are now finished? Well, the medical system, there's no more hospitals. And the religious system, because it's all smashed to pieces. The media is shut down, because at this time, you're not going to have radio, and certainly not television or television stations. It will not be available. The judicial systems will be all broken up. And the educational system, all the schools, no children will be going to school. Everything will be so destroyed. It says five of the seven will be gone. That's what it says there. All right? It says five have fallen. But one is, the one that is still is the political one. And the one that will rise is the military one. That's what it says right there. All right? And the beast who once was and now is not is an eighth king. The ten horns, verse 12, you saw, are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, because they're just in the heavenlies causing trouble. But they will come, the military force, and rule over the nations. Ten kings you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but for 1 hour they will receive authority as kings among the beast, along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast, and they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And with him will be his called and chosen and faithful followers. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are people, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the ten horns," these ten demonic military kings, "will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin, leave her naked, and they will eat her flesh and burn her with fire." So why all of a sudden is the beast going to turn on this mother of prostitutes? Well, it's like this. Right now, this is the way it is in the world, and it's going to be this way more so during the Great Tribulation period after the beast is released. There are three demonic forces at work. One is demonic doctrines. Humanism is a demonic doctrine. Doctrines of demons. It's ideology. The world has an ideology. It's called political correctness. And it moves God out of the picture. So that is what the beast does. He's the one who brings 666, humanism, the number of man. The false prophet does all kinds of signs and wonders with miracles and supernatural things. So we are now seeing all kinds of supernatural movies, and this has been this way for the last 30, 40 years. All kinds of Harry Potter, The Force Be With You with Luke Skywalker, and everything else from horror shows. It's all supernatural stuff that you're getting on TV because you are getting prepared for one to actually emerge. Many, actually, led by a spirit. And see, not everybody will follow the beast because he has ideology. Those people who watch the news and are very politically minded, they will follow the beast, unless they're Christians. But if you go and ask people, what do you think about what's happening in the world today? They say, well, I don't really watch the news. Most people do not watch the news. Most people have no idea what's going on in the world around them. But if you show them some supernatural things, a whole other group of people will come in on it. But now there's a third person, and she is the most powerful in the world right now. She is more powerful than the spirit of ideology and humanism, and she is more powerful than witchcraft. She's the mother of harlots. She's the spirit of lust that is in the world today. The lust of the eyes, the Bible says, is the desire to have the things that you see. It's called covetousness. The lust of the flesh is the desire to have sexual activity or to eat a lot, to satisfy your body in some way or another. And the third kind of lust that it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, is the lustful pride of life. It's the desire to be a celebrity. It is the desire to be recognized. It's more simple word, it's pride. All right? So these three lusts, the lust to have things, the lust to be somebody great, and the lust to fulfill your passions, your earthly basic bodily passions. Those three lusts, the Bible says, are everything in the world. The cravings of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, if you go to the King James, it says everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, all right? The lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. That's what it says in the King James. So it's these three lusts that are all a part of the big picture of lust. This demon spirit controls most people on the earth through their pride, through their sensual lusts, and through their desire for money, which is covetousness. The lust of whatever you see with your eyes. You want to have that. So, you see, the beast, the spirit of humanism, can't rule the world. People won't follow ideology. You know, many countries of the world, they flip-flop back and forth between communism and capitalism. Especially in Africa. One year, they might be communist, and the next year, they can be capitalist. And the people don't care. Just as long as they can provide food for their families and keep their job and have a nice community. They don't care what's going on in their political houses. Just don't kill us. Ideology is not the biggest force in the world when it comes to power. But witchcraft isn't either, as strong as witchcraft is. Most people in the world don't believe in it. Especially in the Western world. However, lust is all over your TV screen. It's all over the magazines. It's everywhere you go. And people are controlled by it. So now the beast, who is the right-hand man to Satan, he has to rule the world. He has to get the false prophet working for him. And he's got to get the spirit of lust, the great prostitute, working with him, or else he can't control the world. So she says, all right, I'm game. I will release all of my minions to tempt and entice. The Bible says corruption is in the world through lusts. 1 Peter chapter 1. Corruption is in the world. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 is in the world because of lust. So this is the mother of all lust. And she's drunk with the blood of the saints. But you see, when catastrophe comes on the planet and you can't drink the water and there's no food and the sky will burn you and your house has been crashed and there's earthquakes everywhere, you're not thinking about having a party and seeing who you can mess around with. You're not thinking about your sexual appetite anymore. You're thinking about survival. That's it. So when it gets to this stage, people are not trying to make money anymore because money's no good anymore. They're not trying to get a boat. They're just trying to get a tree that they can get under. So all of the wares of the great prostitute are no longer effective. They don't need her lustful powers. They're just going to come in with military might, the 10 kings now. So he has had to, she said, all right, if you want me to do this, and she's been doing it for hundreds of years, thousands of years, she says, I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to ride the beast. And she does. She rides like a wicked, wicked, evil matriarch. She's called the mother of harlots. And they hate her for it. They hate her. The other demons hate her because she's so bossy, so controlling. And when they don't need her anymore, they turn on her. That woman, they strip her naked. It's like being defrocked. And then they eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That's the punishment of the great whore. Remember, demons are thrown into fire. They can feel pain and all the rest. They're going into the lake of fire. So we read then that the 10 horns you saw, this is verse 12, are 10 kings. They didn't have power, but now for 1 hour, for a short time at the end, they will rule the nations and places of the world. And that's when, if you don't have the mark of the beast, you will not be able to eat or drink. But somebody asked me about that just the other night. God will provide supernaturally for his people. You will get everything that you need as you go forward. Now, the first one of these three to go is the great whore. I'm not going to read through Revelation 18. It's too much, and you've listened to too much, and I've taught you too much already tonight. But chapter 18, I will tell you about it. I'll read to you the first couple of verses. It says, after this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. And with a mighty voice he shouted, he's prophesying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt of every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable birds, for all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. So now, this is the prophetic word. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Babylon is a picture of all of Satan's kingdom, just like Jerusalem is a picture of all of God's kingdom. Spiritual, the New Jerusalem, and this Babylon. But at this time, the prophecy comes, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. And if you go through the rest of the chapter, it goes piece by piece, and it shows you about all the great kings and all the people of the earth and all of the merchants of the earth and all of the seafaring sailors of the earth and all of their demons just start to fall. And it says they come crashing down and they lose their music and they lose all of their parties and they lose all of their wealth. And there's nothing that can help them anymore. They come crashing to the end. So that's what happens in the 18th chapter. It's all about the fall of Babylon. And the reason is because the sin of the people has come to such a place, and finally the demonic element is going to be broken, and every evil person will be broken, and all of the systems of the earth will be broken. Let's just read the beginning of chapter 19, because it's interesting. See what it says at the beginning of chapter 18:1. It says, "After this I saw another angel coming down from heaven and saying, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great.'" Now look at number 19, chapter 19, verse 1. It starts off the same way. "After this I heard what sounded like a roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God.'" So this is what I shared with you about the book of Revelation. It takes you in chronological order through the story. This is the very end of the story, just before the Lord returns. He returns in this chapter 19, starting in verse 11. But you see what happens? After all of these bowls of wrath are poured out, then he gets to see what's going to happen, the punishment of the great whore who brought lust to the world and tempted the world and ruled kings and whole nations with dark passions, and her destruction comes. And then it says, "After this, I saw the fall of Babylon." So he gets to see what's going to happen to all the systems of darkness on the earth and the fall of Babylon. And then he gets to see what happens in heaven. Chapter 19 says, "And after this, I saw the heavens opened and the people were singing hallelujah." And we're going to study the hallelujah in 2 weeks' time, and the return of the Lord and the glory that takes place in heaven. So bless you. Aren't you glad that darkness is going to come to an end, and that the great prostitute and the beast and the false prophet and Satan, that old dragon, are all going to be destroyed completely, entirely. The Lord will see to it, but it comes at the end of the book of Revelation. Now, I think I need to share with you one false thing. Many people say something that's absolutely ridiculous in my estimation. They say that the beast is the Catholic Church, or they say that the woman, this harlot of harlots, the great harlot who has the whole world drunk with her lust, is the Catholic Church. It's a terrible thing. First of all, I know there's a mixture in the Catholic Church, a big mixture, but there are many godly people there too. And they stand up. They are not politically correct. A true Catholic will stand up against abortion and stand up for marriage, and stand up for the Christian Judaic ethic. Furthermore, this woman, a mother of harlots, she is in every nation, and she is in charge of the nations, and the Catholic Church is not. The Catholic Church is not in charge in any of the Arab nations, not in charge in China, not in charge of most of Russia, not in charge of most of the United States, and certainly not in charge of Europe. There's a couple of very Catholic countries in Europe, Poland and Spain, but very few others. The Catholic Church does not fit the description of this woman, but for centuries, pastors have preached that it was the Catholic Church. It doesn't fit at all. But lust is everywhere and growing and is so powerful, people lose their souls over it. And she's the first one to go. So I hope this has been helpful. Let's pray. Hold your hands up, would you? Would you stand to your feet? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great plans. From before the foundations of the world, you knew the end from the beginning. We thank you for your blessed Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. And we thank you that you've shown us all of these things in your word. Help us, Lord, as we go forward, to have a right perspective so that we might be in step with you. And we say hallelujah. We say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let all and every word that you have spoken come with great speed. And Lord, may we be in step with you and see your kingdom come. We receive your blessing over our lives. Now I speak the blessing of the Lord over each of you, over your families, over your children and your grandchildren. I speak a release of dreams and visions and the word of the Lord to you. I speak it in Jesus' name. Amen.